Church, say amen. We always like to give honor and pleasure to our Father, the great God of this universe, for blessing us each and every day of our lives. We are very appreciative of His blessing. It was Him who watched over us this past week. He watched over us last night, even though a storm was raging last night while a lot of you were asleep. God still took care of us. Am I right about it? Even though we drive on the dangerous streets throughout the city of Chicago or the suburban areas, but God protected us. So we should honor Him and glorify Him and praise His holy and righteous name. I'd like to thank the brethren, the elders, who are the bishops of this church, for allowing me the opportunity to stand before you to preach another gospel message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm always grateful to be able to stand up for Jesus, because we don't have too many that are standing up for Jesus. And we need as many Christians and as many preachers as we can to stand up for Christ. Amen. We also like to come in and welcome all of our visitors and guests. We want you to know that you are our honored guests. We appreciate your presence today. We know that you could be somewhere else, in another place, but you took out your time and your opportunity to come to worship with us, and we honor that greatly, and we're very appreciative of that as well. And I know it was the Lord that led you in this place. You are in the right place at the right time. At this time, I would like to go into my lesson, but before I go into my lesson, I would like to sing a song. Get us a little more warmed up. And the song I would like to sing, I always pray before I come up here, so I don't necessarily always pray. But I would like to sing a song. And some of you probably know this song, or you may not have heard it before. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and to worship Him. Let us sing. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship Him. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourselves and magnify the Lord and worship Him. Worship Him. Forget about yourselves and magnify the Lord and worship Him. Worship Him. Forget about yourselves and magnify the Lord and worship Him. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Now, if you have in your possession the Word of God, I would like to invite your attention to the scripture text where I will be preaching from this morning and this afternoon. The Bible, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20, commencing at verse number 1, and I will read on down to verse number 7. That's the book of 2 Kings. The chapter is 20, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus said the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant's sake, for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Based upon this text, these passages of scripture I'd like to use for a subject this morning, set your house in order. Set your house in order. Note, I ain't saying someone else's house, but set your house in order. Everyone should take heed to the warning that Isaiah, the prophet of God, said to King Hezekiah when he was told to set his house in order. This warning was sent by Jehovah God to Hezekiah, the king of Judah. If God sent you the same warning today, what would you do? How would you set your house in order? What would be on your top priority list of things to do? There are three areas of houses that I want to deal with today. The first house that I want to deal with today is our physical house, which is our body, which is also called a tabernacle or a temple. You see, in God's original plan, God expects order among his people. When we go back to the beginning of time, when God created everything, and then God created man, male and female, after his image. If you have your Bibles, I'm a Bible preacher. I preach from the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and beginning with verse number 26. The Bible said, and God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God had legislated authority to man to be over all of these things that we just read. And look at verse number 27. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them. Notice, God created male and female, not male and male, or female with a female, but male with female. That's God's creation, and that's God's original creation. But men have come and have messed it up. You see, God made Adam, created him from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. According to Genesis chapter 2, you can read that around about verse number 7. And you know, after God had made man, God said it's not good for man to be alone. And he said, I will make him a helpmeet. Am I right about the church? And so God got busy. God caused a deep sleep to go into Adam, the first man that he created. And God took out from his side, from one of his ribs, and created, made he woman. You see, male, female, man, woman. That's God's plan. Am I right about it? God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve, not Evelyn and Eve. Yes, help me, church. You see, the church needs to stand up on the word of God, because there's so much foolishness that are going on in our world and in our society. And that's why our world is so messed up and our minds is so messed up, is because we have left God. But you see, you can't get away from God. God is always right. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that every word of God is pure. Every word. And the Bible said that we should not add unto it, unless we be found a liar. According to Proverbs, the 30th chapter, verses 5 or verse number 6. You can read it. So the Bible lets us know that this is God's original plan. And you know, God continues something here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. The Bible said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God wanted man to reproduce. That's why Adam and Eve got busy. Am I right about it? And brought in Cain, their firstborn. They got busy again, and they brought in Abel, their secondborn. So that's God's order. And you see, my brother, my sister, God's order, in order for us to bring a child into the world, you ought to be married. Amen. That's God's original order. You see, but we messed it up. So we got to get back right with God if we want to be right and go to heaven. Amen. And you know, we all make mistakes. The Bible said, for we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So I cannot point my bony finger at you, and you can't point yours at me. Because we all are mixed up and messed up. But when we repent and when we turn back to God, God will redeem us. God will own us back. Amen. And so, our physical house must be in order. And then I'm reminded what Paul told the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Paul said, I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, God expects us to have our physical body in good shape. Amen. And He wants us to be holy and righteous, presenting ourselves unto Him. Amen. If you can. And then the Bible tells us that one day we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians now. And I will look at verse number 10 in the book of 2 Corinthians. Verse number 10. Let's find out what Paul instructed the church there. If you have it, I'm going to start reading. The Bible said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body, in His house, in His temple, in His tabernacle. Everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He had done, whether it's good or bad. You see, we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, mama's going to be there too. Daddy will be there too. Brother and sister will be there too. All of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's why this lesson is so prevalent, is because God wants us to be in order before He comes back again. Or God wants us to be in order before you die. Because when you die, that's the way you'll be resurrected. You can't die a sinner and raise up a saint. When you die a child of God, a sinner, you will raise a sinner. But when you die a child of God, a saint, you will be raised as a saint. Amen. That's the Bible. I'm going to get back to Hezekiah. But I'm working on this house now, our physical temple. So, church, we got to understand, we can't just walk around like we zombies. Like we're going to live on this earth forever. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that verse number 9, I believe verse number 27, my memory served me correctly, it is appointed unto the man once to die, and after this, the day of judgment. You see, all of us have an appointment that we must keep. I had to go to a funeral last night. Sister Lita Walker passed away, a faithful member of the church. She was a member of the church out there in Lansing where I was also ministering. And a great dedicated sister. And unfortunately, she passed away last week. And yeah, we had services last night. But, you know, we all going to have to die, church. You know, sometimes the only time we think about death when somebody died. But we have to get our house in order. Amen. Because we're not going to live forever, not on this earth. You know, we want to live forever in heaven. But we got to make that transition here on earth in order to go to heaven. Amen. Now, the second house I want to be talking about this morning is our family house. Amen. Our family house should be set in order. God's original plan for the family, like I said, is found in the book of Genesis. We already gone over that. We talked about our houses personally and the family house. You see, we got to make sure our family house in order. We kind of went over that too when I went to Genesis. I gave you scriptures already. But I want to share with you a scripture in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Let's find out what Paul instructed the church at Ephesus. These Christians, you know, and this application is to us as Christians as well. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, this is God's order. God has ordered the church. And we must comply with God's order. So, first of all, God is letting the children know. Because we have a lot of hard-headed, disobedient children in our world. You know? And I thank God that I had a father that didn't play. My father would spank me in a moment. Yeah, I got a lot of spanking back in the days because I was hard-headed back then. A lot of them. But you see, I'm glad I did. Because he kept me out of trouble. And what is really missing in the family structure is a father and a mother. You see, it's not God's original plan, church, is to have a mother to do all the raising. That's not God's plan. But like I said, when we start messing up with God's plan, everything is out of order. We have everything in a disarray. Everything is like a ball of confusion. But God's original plan is to have the man and the woman together. Amen. So the Bible said, children, Ephesians 6 and 1, obey your parents in the Lord. You see, you ought to be in the Lord, first of all. You know what my mother told me when I was growing up as a teenager? She said, you ought to become a Christian, probably you stop being so bad. Yeah, she told me that. You know? And I thought about it. And eventually I did become a Christian. And I thank God for it. You know, because there's nothing like a Christian. You know? There's nothing like a child of God. Yeah, we all have struggles. We have all have heartaches. Our hearts still can be broken. But you see, it's nothing like being a child of God because God has given us spiritual blessings. We can pray to God when things are hard and difficult. Just like Hezekiah prayed when he was sick and was about to die. He prayed to God. And that's what we ought to do. You see, there is power in prayer. Prayer still changes things. So the Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God said it's right. It's always right to be obedient. And let me share something with you young people. We don't have a lot here, but we do have some, you know, up in the teens now. Is that when a person grew up to be disobedient, when they leave their home, they would also learn how to be disobedient in the world. You see, that's why obedience must be taught in our house. You see, we have too many parents that are afraid of their children. I would not dare want my children out there on the streets selling drugs. I wouldn't dare want my children out there on the streets game banging. You see, I'm the dad. It's right. I have the right to get my house in order. I have the right to tell my child, no, you my son, I don't want you out there. And if I have to get help, if you don't listen to me, then I will have to get help. But some of us, you know, we just let things go on. These children out there that are blowing people, shooting people day and night. out there game banging, they have a daddy somewhere. He may be locked up in prison, or he may be on drugs, or he may be across the town somewhere, but somebody ought to help check that child. You see, you can't wait till they get grown, become teenagers, then they start smelling themselves. You got to start working on them now. You got to start binding chains on them now. I'm not saying be too strict. Because you can't be too strict, because the Bible teaches us that. But watch this. It said, honor thy father and mother. Under the law of Moses, if a child cursed their parents out, under the law of Moses, they were supposed to be stoned to death. That's under the law of Moses. But now we live under grace and truth. You see, God didn't play around in the Old Testament. He don't play now, but you know, he's more tolerable and he's more merciful. But he didn't play in the Old Testament. We thank God for Jesus Christ. Because some of us, we should have been dead a long time ago. It's a sin and shame for a person to just cuss their parents out. Here they done brought them into the world before they was, you know, couldn't even know themselves, couldn't even walk, couldn't talk. And then they get big and bad enough now, and then they want to cuss them out. Disrespect them. Dog them out. God says, stop it. He says, verse number 3. Well, I'm going back to it. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is God's first commandment. Then verse number 3, he says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. When I heard that scripture when I was a young person, that bothered me. You see, the problem with so many young people, some of them don't have a conscience. It's not too much stuff bother them. So like, if you ever drive, you know, you're driving up and down the street, and, you know, a stop sign there, they don't even look at the car. They just keep on going. Like, I dare you to hit me. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't happen to me many times. Don't even look at the car. Just keep going. And you know we got some people who always drive and don't stop at the stop sign. It happened just last week. Or don't follow the red light. You know, we always got violators. And so when I had read the scripture when I was a young person, it bothered me that you may live long on earth. I didn't want God to cut my life out. I wanted to live. Just like Hezekiah, he wanted to live. He didn't want to die. And then I like verse number 4. And that's why I said God had put a responsibility upon the fathers. Fathers, we are doing a disservice when we put all the responsibility upon the mother or your wife. Look at verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You see, you got to know how to communicate with your child. Because you know, just because we the daddy, we the father, we the boss, you know, we got to, you know, stick our necks out and our shoulders up, you know, to show our manhood. But when we do it the way God says do it, if the job would be done completely. Amen. So, father, provoke not your children to wrath, but, notice this, fathers, not mothers, fathers, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is the Bible. Father, responsibility is to bring up that child in the Lord. And that's why we have to work on the fathers, the men of the church. Amen. We ought to be having training classes for young men. I grew up in the church with training class. Training class. Because how would you want to know? How you going to know the order of the church if you haven't been trained? Let me ask you something. All you professors out there and educators, Can you go on your job now without any type of training? Get a job. Everybody asking for degrees, for skills. Am I right about it? Train, all of that. But when it comes to church, we are like we don't know what's going on. Jesus spent 3 long years training his disciples, getting them ready for the kingdom in his earthly ministry. 3 years. What is hurting the church, you know, I don't care what y'all think about me. I'm more concerned about what God think about me. Because my job is to preach the truth. Amen. And let God get the glory. Because, let me share something with you. Because you see, a true preacher is going to preach the truth. Because a true preacher cares about your soul. It's those preachers who don't care about their soul, your soul. They will allow you to go into damnation. You don't want the Lord to tell you on the judgment day why you don't know this, why you're not doing that. God expects the preacher to set things in order. Amen. And I got scripture for it too. And so, we have to understand that training is very prevalent. It is necessary. Where would I be if I didn't have the training? I was taught how to, you know, I knew how to read, but, you know, how to, you know, to write scriptures. There was some stuff in the Bible, you know, so many words, names in the Bible, you can't pronounce. I don't care how much education you got. They're hard. So I will ask the preacher, if I had to read the scripture, how do you pronounce this? There's nothing wrong with asking something if you don't know. That's how you learn. You don't learn anything if you don't ask any questions. Am I right, professors? I used to teach in Dallas, you know, and I've been a teacher in the church for many years. But if a person don't ask any questions, they're really not learning as much. You learn by asking questions. Some people are afraid to ask questions. And we ought to be able to ask questions in the church. Amen. You can't ask questions in the church. Something is wrong with that church. Because we both are learning. You know, we teach and we sow the seed, but you have to understand the person who receiving the word need to understand. So they may have some doubt in their mind or some misunderstanding, so they need to ask some questions. You know, when we prepare, we have to be ready to answer the question. As a matter of fact, Peter said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer unto them that ask. We have to be ready to give an answer. Amen. So I dealt with the family structure. I dealt with our house, our body, that we got to get that in order. Now I want to talk about the house of God. Amen. Because we have to make sure the house of God is in order. And God has order in this court. And just like any judge don't allow disorder in his court, God don't allow disorder in his court. God had to strike down individuals who didn't obey him. Read Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu, when they offer up strange fire to God, which the Bible said the Lord commanded not, God rained that fire from heaven on them and consumed them because they was out of order. Now the Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Paul said, for if I tarry long, that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So God expects us to know how to conduct ourselves in his house. In his house is not time to try to get recompense. Because what happened last night or last week or even 5 years ago. We got too many Christians that hold too many chips on their shoulders. Something that happened 10 years ago. You have to learn how to bury the dead. Amen. How can you expect to go to heaven? You're still concerned about something that happened 10 years ago. God is not going to tolerate that foolishness in heaven. Don't deceive yourself, as Paul said in the scripture. Be not deceived. You know, because we can deceive ourselves thinking that we can come in the Lord's house and think we can do whatever we want to do when we want to do it. But God has structure in the church. And He expects us to follow His structure, which is His pattern. So He said, know how to conduct thyself. That means know how to behave thyself. We ought to be on our best behavior when we're in the house of God. And if we can go to a courthouse and be in our best behavior, turn off our cell phones, don't eat in the courthouse, wear the proper garment in the courthouse, then we ought to have respect for God's house and give God the glory and the praise that is due to His name. Now, there's another scripture I want to share with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40. The Bible said, let all things be done how? Decently and in order. God said this through His word. Let all things be done decently and in order. It's nothing like being out of order. You know? You can't even do that on your job. You got to be doing things in order. Am I right about it? Or hit the door, Jack. So, God set up order in His house. We must keep the order that God set up in the house. And then I want to share with you Titus chapter 1. Because Paul, who was an apostle of Jesus Christ, instructed a gospel preacher or evangelist by the name of Titus and told him what to do. Amen. Watch this. The Bible says, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. He said, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou should set in order. Who is he talking to? Titus. The things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So Titus had an appointment. He was appointed to set things in order. And to ordain elders in every city. Yes, God wants elders in the church. He wants the bishops in the church. The elder, the term elder, bishop, pastor, they're all the same term. It's describing the same person, different Greek words, but it's still describing the same person. Just like a father. A father is a husband. A father is a man, right? But he's talking about the same person. So God wants elders in the church, and God also gives qualification. You see, if an elder don't meet the qualification, he ought not to be the elder. And that's the Bible. Because God expects order in His church. Watch this. He said, if any man be blameless, verse 6, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-will, not caught up in yourself. Don't have your own will. You see what I'm saying? Got your own mind. You have to understand, first of all, every servant is submitted to God first. That include me, that include Brother Carter, that include any preacher or any servant in church. We all are committed to God first. And God expects us to be faithful to our commitment to Him. If we can't be faithful to God, we can't be faithful to each other. Because faithfulness starts with God. Everything must start with God. Our household must start with God. Our family, the house of God, it starts with the Lord. So having faithful children, not accused of riots and ungodly. Verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. Don't get upset over just little small stuff. Got to be under control. Because one thing about this, I noticed that as a preacher, is that people watches you. They watches you like they watch nobody else. They got their eye on you. And then, you know, understand this, because I've been preaching long enough. There are some folks who want to see you fall. They want to see you make a mistake. It's like some of you eyeing me right now. But I'm with the Lord. I'm not worrying about anything. As long as I know I preach the truth, I got God on my side, I'm not worrying about nothing else. Because I want God to bless me. Amen. I want God to bless my life. I want God to bless my family. So not soon angry, not given to wine. You're not going around, you know, sipping on vodka, beer, liquor. Are y'all with me? Not doing none of that stuff. No striker. You're not in the boxing business. You know what I'm saying? Hit you with a lick. Not giving to filthy lucre. That's talking about money. You know, the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. It's nothing wrong with money because all of us need money. It took money for us to get here. How expensive gas is, whether you drove here or you came on the bus. Or you got a ride. You know what I'm saying? It takes money. It takes money to go out to work. It takes money to live in a house. It takes money to raise children. We need money. God knows that. He understands that. But He don't want us to be foolish. You know? Because God gives us all things free. And all we need to do is ask. Then it says, verse 8, but a lover of hospitality, you ought to love people. You ought to be hospitable, friendly, greeting people, lover of people. Amen. But lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. See, we don't have too many good men in our world. And let me share something with you, sister. You got a good man, you better hold on to him. And if he's trying to be, if he's a Christian, you better hold on to him. There's not too many good men in the world. And you know, we brother need some good women. Amen. Some faithful women, some dedicated women, some godly women who want to live for God to help us to be the men that we should be. We can't be the men that we should be unless we have a good woman on our side. God made Eve to be Adam's helpmeet, to be his helper, to be there to help him to, in whatever way he needs help in. And then verse number 8 again, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding the fast, the faithful word as had been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine, both to exalt and to convince the gainsayers. So we, you know, we ought to know the word of God so much and so good that nobody can come in here and turn God's word around. Amen. You know what? And this is the honest truth. I didn't know I was going to be led this way. I have not even read much of anything in my lesson. But the Holy Spirit led me somewhere else. And I give Him the glory. Because it's needed in church. This is not something that needs to just be taught here. It needs to be taught throughout the body of Christ. Everybody needs to hear this. And for preachers who don't want elders in the church, that's not God's original plan. You know, God wants elders in the church because there's so much the preacher can do. There's so much the evangelist can do. God knows what he's doing. As a matter of fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and verse number 18, the Bible said God has set each member of the church as it had pleased him. He set them in the church. And I want to read some more of this because I want to go to verse number 28. Because the Bible said, look at who God set in the church. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Now, we know that some offices are temporary, but there are others that are permanent. Like the evangelists, like the elders, teachers, they are permanent offices. An elder is a teacher too. Amen. That's why we have Brother Jackson and Brother Burnside. They teach. Because an elder must know how to teach. That's God's plan. So church, as we look at the biblical story of Hezekiah, as I get ready to conclude here, it's a very interesting story. It is sad. It is said that the biblical account of Hezekiah's reign does not seem to be in exact chronological order. The reign of Hezekiah seems to center around three major events. Not long after he took throne, he set in order a political and religious reform for Judah. You know, if you look at Hezekiah compared to his father, Ahaz, no comparison. His father was a wicked father. But that just shows you just because dad is not no good don't mean that you don't have to be no good. And then after Hezekiah passed away, his son Manasseh took over. And he did exactly what his granddad did. Start bringing in idols into the worship, allowing the people to do what they want to do. But you see, all of us, we're going to be held accountable. And just like, you know, you see a crime being committed, you're eyewitnesses of it, you just sit around, you see it over and over again, you don't do anything about it, you're just as guilty as a person that committed the crime. And I don't want nobody's blood to be upon me. I want to be just like Paul says, free of all man. According to Acts chapter 20. So church, set your house in order. I reminded of a woman about a story. This is not in the Bible. It's a story about a woman who wanted to marry four different kinds of men. And she began to list the kind of men she wanted to marry. And she had a certain order and she put them in. She said, I want to marry an investor. I want to marry an actor. I want to marry a preacher. And I want to marry an undertaker. And someone asked the woman, well, woman, why do you want to marry four different kinds of men and in that arrangement? She said, I want to marry an investor. I want to marry an actor. I want to marry a preacher and an undertaker. She said, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. She realized that one of these days she's going to have to die. And we have to all understand that one of these days all of us are going to have to die. But you don't want to die outside of Christ. You want to make sure that you are in Christ, in the body of Christ. You know, to be in Christ, God has put all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Not none on my side when it comes to spiritual blessings. So we have so much to rejoice over. We have so much to be happy and excited over because all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And the church of Christ is in Christ Jesus. That's why you want to be in the right church. You don't want to die outside of Christ. You don't want to die outside of the body of Christ. God had put salvation in Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither there is salvation in other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So salvation is in Christ and is in His name. And that's why we are called Christians, because you can't even spell Christian without first spelling Christ. And let you know we are followers of Christ. We are learners of Christ. We are disciples of Christ. We are saints for Christ. Amen. We represent Him. And God expects us to be different from the world. He expects us to let our light shine. He said that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Those of you that have been having a difficult time this past week, just keep on trusting God. I encourage you, just keep on. The Bible said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. God is going to come through. God has His own set time. And the Bible said, God is able to make all things work together for your good. Everything may be disarray right now. Everything may be out of order. But God will make it work out for your good if you trust Him. If you serve Him. If you're not a child of God today, you heard the word. Now you must believe with all of your heart. Then you must repent of your sins. And then after you repent of your sins, you turn from your sins, you must confess the sweetest name ever been uttered by mankind. And that is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And then you must be baptized. Now, baptism, Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then also in Acts chapter 22, in verse number 16, when Paul, who became the great apostle, was told to rise, to be baptized. The Bible said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So this, your obligation today, you want to become a child of God, you can come right now. God will make you new. All the things that you've done in the past will be old. God will just clean your slate. And nobody can do it like God. Nobody can do you like God. Come right now as we together stand and we sing the song of invitation. Come to Jesus.